Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, Water of Life Ministries, Plano, Texas. Sent by God, your house, as an apostle and prophet of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome everybody in Africa that might be tuned in today. We've got things rolling there, and there will be people listening, watching every day, a lot of it. I praise God for it. I appreciate that God never forgot Africa. I never thought he did, but certainly I wasn't hearing much from Africa. But when it was right time, God woke up steady in the spirit, one that worked in my office for 4 years or 5 years, and he wrote me or gave me a call, we talked, I knew it was God, and things were going just the way the Spirit of God is saying. Amen. So we are completing Galatians today, the 6th chapter, the amazing book, an epistle written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia, who had the gospel preached to them and then turned away from the gospel. They were bewitched by an evil eye, by a witchcraft spirit, and they went back under the law and were separated from Jesus Christ and the Father. Amen. But Paul, a faithful servant of God, and I appreciate he did this. I really do, because I find myself in the same situation, that many departed from Christ, from the gospel, went back under the law, lost their salvation. But Philippians 4:19 says that I will travail again in birth until Christ be formed in them again. We will go for that, thank God. All you one-time, once-saved, always-saved people need to be repenting. You've been lied to, misinformed, and God has sent me to set you free with the truth of the gospel. Bob Gartner is going to be reading in the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians, beginning in verse 1. Bob.
Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Whoa. Back in the 80s, back in the 90s, I had a bunch of preachers, people that followed certain ministries, come down on me in a great way. They were wicked as they could be. And I decided that I would go off of a LaCie broadcast, because wicked people had stirred up some things against me, and I didn't want to be in strife. And I can tell you where I was walking this very minute, down my driveway, and I said, I will not strive with this bunch. I will not strive with them 1 minute. I will just go off of LaCie broadcast, and I'll let God put me somewhere else. And God said, you will not, but you will read that verse, and you will tell them. They all know who you are. And they did. They knew exactly. I'm talking about television preachers, all kinds of preachers knew who I was, and I wasn't going to strive with them. But I said that if you have seen me overtaken in a fault, and you haven't come to me and talked to me or give me a phone call about it, no. You went to work to get me removed from LaCie broadcast. And I know your name. Names. I know it well. But God knows it better. He knows who you are. And I said, but none of you have come to restore me in a spirit of meekness for the fault that you say I'm in. And I went right on. You know what? I'm still walking. And some of those ministries are not on the earth. They're dead. Hopefully in heaven. Amen. So, next verse, Bob.
Verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Law, yeah. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Next verse.
3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
A man said that once. I was on trial with a bunch of preachers. Had four of them after me. And they accused me for 2 hours. And it was amazing. I just sat there. Never said a word. When it was over, this preacher said, "You got anything to say?" I said, "No. I have nothing to say. I told you what they were going to say when I came to this meeting. I knew." And he said, "If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself." I said, "Is that for me?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, what'd you say it for?" The man that said that to me was Derek Prince. Did you know those four preachers that went after me, every one of them lost their ministries? Let's move on.
4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
Amen. Let's go.
For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
Right here's what it gets fun. Let him that's taught in the word, right?
Right.
Communicate unto him that what? That teacheth?
That teacheth.
That teacheth. Yeah. What? In every good thing?
In all good
things. All good things. All
good things.
All good things. Now, I'm not going to ask you to be right or wrong. I'm going to tell you, that includes money. Well, anybody here courageous? All good things? He that teaches, communicate the one that is taught, communicate to the one that's teaching, with all good things. That includes money. That includes money. Thank God. So, you need to hear God, you need to know what God says, and you that are being taught need to communicate to them that are teaching with all good things, which includes money. Next verse.
7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Hold. You notice that, Ballard? That exhortation that he that that teacheth should be, the one that's being taught should by the one that's teaching should receive money from the one that's being taught. This is kind of a tongue twister for some reason. Amen. And then the next thing, God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. Is that what that says?
That's right.
Did you know the next verse says, if you sow the flesh, doesn't it?
Or yes, doesn't it? Yes.
Huh?
Verse 8.
Yeah.
You want me to read that?
Yeah.
For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Yeah. You see that? He that soweth to the flesh, if you don't give your money by the Spirit where God tells you to, I'm not telling saying where you want to. I'm saying where God tells you to. If you don't do that, you know what you're doing? You're sowing to the flesh. And you know what you'll reap? Corruption. Corruption. Every person needs to know what God wants them to do when it comes to reaping and sowing. Next.
9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
You know, giving money where you're supposed to is, it's the will of God. You do it in due season, and you should not get weary in where you give your money or when. You know that? Read that again, Bob.
And let us not be weary in well-doing.
Let us not be weary in sowing to the Spirit, in giving our money where God tells us to give it, let us not, amen, not be weary in doing that, all right? Why? Because in due season, you're going to reap, right?
That's right.
And you know what? A lot of people quit because they say, oh, this is not God. Well, if God told you it's God and he hadn't changed his mind, right? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If he sows to the flesh he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap what? Eternal life?
Life everlasting.
Life everlasting. Same thing. Next verse, what was it?
Okay, 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us
Let's go back to 9. Did I just quote 9?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let us not be weary in well-doing,
yeah.
For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yeah. You can't stop. You can't get weary. You have to give. You say, well, I can't afford it. Yes, you can. You know what I told God once? I said, I can't afford you and the IRS both. That's back in my ignorant and unlearned days. 1976, I believe, 75, whatever it was. So, yeah, 75. When my taxes came due, in 76, I didn't have my taxes. First time I'd ever had not had my tax money in my life. Because I always took care of business. I was a businessman. When I owed taxes, I didn't go buy a new car. I paid my taxes, and then I got a car when I could afford it. I've been a businessman all my life. But I decided I couldn't afford God and IRS and the government. I said to Uncle Sam, I don't call him Uncle Sam anymore. I don't think Uncle Sam's up there anymore. Hallelujah. So, my taxes come due and I don't have my money. I said, Lord, where is my tax money? He said, where's my money? I said, what are you talking about? Where's my money? Oh, yeah, I know. I said, I couldn't afford you and IRS both. Why not? Because both of you want too much. Anybody here? Are you awake? Have you ever thought like I talked? I can't afford you. God says, okay, you can't. Now go cash that insurance policy that you've got and get the cash value part and pay your income tax. Oh, I need that. What for? You planned on dying? Okay. So I go into the bank. I said, I need to borrow some money on this. They said, you can't. I said, what do you mean I can't? Well, anyway, we got it straightened out. They loaned me the money, gave me the cash to pay my taxes that day. And I've never since ever told God that I couldn't afford him and Uncle Sam. Never. Now, I don't intend to. There's a lot of wicked things going on in our country today. A lot of things. Very wicked. Say to the righteous, it'll be well with you. Say to the wicked, you'll receive a reward for your deeds. Amen. Now, can we go on?
10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
You like that? Especially. Let us do good, if possible, to every man. If possible. But especially to people that are the household of faith. And I'm going to say this, and those people that call themselves faith people, you are not of the household of faith. Household of faith are people walking in the gospel, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Just because you call yourself faith ministry, faith-based, and all that doesn't mean you're faith at all. Your faith's in the flesh. We better move on, Bob, before I get in trouble.
You see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand.
Oh, verse 11, right?
That's right.
We spoke a couple of days ago from the fourth chapter of Galatians, and we talked there how my eyes came under great pressure. It was my soul back in 08 and late 08, early 09. And the soul was oppressed, so oppressed that my eyesight grew dim. And when Katie came to the house, she, in April, I think it was, God was talking to her, tell him what this says. And she did. See, those of you that think a woman shouldn't tell you anything about the Bible, you need your head realigned. You know that? Well, don't kid yourself. And she read it to me, and I kept looking at it and listening to it, and I said, oh, I see that. I could see. I knew Paul was blind for 3 days. I also knew Ananias laid hands on him and prayed for him to receive his sight, and I knew he did, and I just kind of glossed over the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, thinking, scary to think that he might be, that Paul might have been referring to when he was blind for persecuting Jesus. Now, I've hit a spirit, and I've hit a tough one. But don't expect me to back up. Not at all. For fighting spirits like this, I have been accused of being drunk because my speech was slurred. Well, too bad. It's just too early to get drunk. Besides, I don't. Now, thank God. Amen. But the Roman spirit I took on, great oppression of my soul, my eyes grew dim, and then the discipleship people also came out of, from a Roman spirit. Also, the Muslim spirit came from a Roman spirit. That's documented very well. And I battled these witchcraft spirits day and night and have for years. The Antichrist spirit is a Roman spirit. Thank God the Antichrist will walk in that spirit and sit in the temple in Jerusalem. And and act as though he were Christ. And people will be worshiping him, that wicked man. But the man, Jesus, will go in there and he'll destroy the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth. Thank God. Everybody then will know who that wicked spirit is, who that wicked man is, that man of perdition. And that I have been battling for more than 4 years. But I am overcoming it. The Apostle Paul overcame it. And in that 11th verse of the 6th chapter, he said that he had written that long letter with his own hand. And if you read back in Paul's writings, you will see others wrote what he told them to write. But now Paul has overcome that wicked spirit, that Antichrist spirit. Antichrist spirit that wants to destroy America and wants to destroy the world, thank God. And Paul overcame that spirit. And if you would just move down to 17th verse, Bob, we'll come back and get 12. But what does 17 say?
From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
Notice, he wrote with his own hand a long letter. And he said, henceforth, let no man trouble me.
Amen.
That's what happened to my eye. All of these Antichrist spirits, all of them came from the Roman spirit. And I'm overcoming the Roman spirit today. Still, but it won't be long till I'll be inviting those of you that thought you would take my building away from me. And then I'll be inviting you down on the parking lot and we will have a dance. Come on.
Yes.
Oh no, I'm talking about those Romanists that wanted to destroy me. Yeah. Oh man, you already had the deed to my property, you had the keys to my doors. And I was buried. And like one stupid guy said that I know very well, until I took a dirt nap. That's wicked, huh? You don't have to say yes, I don't care. That's wicked. And another group said, we like the energizing bunny, or some kind of bunny. You know, just never stop. Just keeps going. But he's going down, and we're going to be there. We're going to be there and film his end. Did you read that?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
Film my end.
Right.
Why, they will be in hell if they don't repent. You won't ever see my end. Let me tell you, my end is going up in the clouds meeting Jesus. You going to be there? All right. You know what brought this on? Men and women troubling me. Troubling me. And if you think that you're not troubled for doing it, you don't know what's going on and you don't know what spirit you are. Verse 12, let's go back. Chapter 6.
As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
Did you hear that verse? What verse was that?
That's 14.
14. The world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world.
Amen.
That's what that says. You see, I have the same revelation the Apostle Paul had. Same one. God gave it to me. That's an amazing thing. The world's crucified unto me, and I'm crucified unto the world. Next verse.
15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
A new creature. We won't get into that right now.
As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Last verse. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Henceforth let no man trouble me. You got that? All of you? Amen. Oh, you don't know what I've had to fight to overcome. And you don't know where my faith is at. You don't know where my love is at. And you don't know what authority I am walking in today that I wasn't walking in a month ago. You have no idea. But I know what I'm doing. And I have all along. And I praise God for that opportunity. And by the way, we'll take up the new creature when we get in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right? So we won't lose that. We're going on the next hour to Ephesians. We're going right on through the New Testament through Revelation.